Praise the Lord on this beautiful September the 1st, Lord's Day, Sunday morning. A lot of people have turned the Sunday into fun day, but it's still the Lord's Day. And even though they don't reverence God's Word, even though they don't reverence God's house, we still need to. We need to reverence Him.
Amen.
Our Sunday school lesson this morning is in Proverbs, and we finished up chapter 3 last week, and we're starting in Proverbs chapter 4, and this is a good chapter, one that we do well to take heed to. The Bible talks about give the most earnest heed to the things which we've heard, and I don't think we're giving much heed at all to the Word of God today, and there's a price for it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, man ought not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we're just letting the Word of God fall by the wayside.
Right.
But the very first of this chapter here starts out with one word, hear. You know, God gave us two ears to hear with, one mouth to speak with. And that means we need to hear more than we speak. Now, we don't do that, but that's what we need to do. I've heard that there are people that will pay money to someone that will just listen to them talk. They just want to be heard. And that's something that someone would pay someone else just to be a good listener. And I'll say this about being a good listener. We do well to take heed to what God's Word says. But God starts out here. And He says, hear ye children. A lot of things children are exposed to today, it's everything but the Word of God.
Amen.
A young child needs to be taught. They don't need to be left to their own. Matter of fact, even in Proverbs here, and I haven't looked a lot of these scriptures up, I know them by heart, but in Proverbs here it says a child left to its own will bring its mother shame. And in Proverbs 22, I think it's maybe verse 6, says, train up a child in the way it will go, in the way it should go, and when it's old and not depart.
Right.
But God here says, hear ye children. And adults need to hear, but children need to hear also. I've heard it said that children learn most of what they'll even know in life by the time they're 4 years old.
Right.
They actually learn early. Their character is molded early. And I don't think you can start too early teaching children things they need to know. And therefore God says, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Fathers are they're a prominent figure in a child's life.
Yes.
Let's see here if I can find this. Help me here. Let's see here. I think it's Proverbs 17, I think. My mind's spinning wheels here this morning. Yeah, Proverbs 17. Verse 6. Children's children are the crown of old men. Grandchildren, they're not only grand, they cost their grand then some, but they're worth it. You can't get them at Walmart no more. But grandchildren, old men love grandchildren. It seemed like, I kind of like heard Melvin Sisson preaching one day, and he said if he knew his grandchildren was going to be that good, he'd had them first. But it just seemed like, you know, that you got more wisdom when it comes to your children when they're older. You know more about what you need to be doing and how to do it.
Yeah.
But children's children are the crown of old men. Every grandfather just caught up in his grandchildren. And we spoil them. Melvin Sisson said, not only did I spoil them, he said when they get out of line, he said, I send them home. And he said, if they don't come back, he said, I go get them. Amen. But children's children are the crown of old men. But this latter part of this verse is why I went to this. And the glory of the children are their fathers.
Yeah.
They think their dad hung the moon. And they say, well, my dad can whoop your dad. And that exalted position God put in the heart of the children.
Yeah.
Fathers need to be aware of that. I seen a man yesterday at Walmart, and he was putting his little girl in his truck, helping her get in, and he was a young father, and I told him, I said, God has given you an exalted position in the eyes of your children. And he said he had another child besides her. And I said, you need to be mindful of that and don't fail their expectation. Always give them reason to look up to you as their father.
Yeah.
Be the best father that you can. Well, God says, you children, hear the instruction of a father. Attend to no understanding. It takes a little effort to grow up. And you have to attend to have any understanding at all. Verse 2, God says, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. God's interested in children. I'm eventually going to preach a message out of Matthew chapter 19 where Jesus said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not.
Yeah.
For some reason or other, we'll take our children everywhere but to the house of God. But one thing about bringing children to the house of God is God says, I'll give them good doctrine. And he said, not only will they learn my law, but they won't forsake my law. And verse 3, he says, for I was my father's son. This is Solomon speaking. Tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Solomon's making a reference here to him being David's son, Bathsheba's son. And he mentions about his father David. Verse 4, he taught me also. And said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. And this has twofold effect.
Yeah.
It has the effect of David talking to his son, but it also has the effect of God talking to Solomon. Look over in Proverbs chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2. We'll read verse 1 and 2. God speaking here, my son, forgive not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add unto thee. You know, children, most children I've talked to, they're not thinking about dying. They want to live.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, that young girl that got shot by that illegal alien in California, that felon criminal that stole that gun and shot Kate, as she died in her father's arms, she asked her father not to let her die. Children want to live. Let's look over here in Ephesians. Ephesians real quick. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll eventually get there myself. Finally found it. Ephesians chapter 6. And even though this is the New Testament, it kind of echoes what we just read here in the Old Testament. Ephesians 6, 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Verse 3. That it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Long life tends to honor. God says if you'll honor your mother and your father and the Lord, that's important. If you've got a drug dealer for a father or mother, or a drunkard for a father or mother, you don't necessarily have to give heed to this. But if you've got a good godly, hey Sister Shannon, if you've got a good godly father, good godly mother, God says honor your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And he said that it may be well with thee, that you may live long on the earth. You know, honoring mother and father tendeth to long life. That's kind of what Solomon says here. He says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. God wants us to hold on to the things that are needful. Jesus said, the words that I speak, he said, they're spirit and they're life.
Right.
And you know, we'll hold on to everything but the Word of God. We just let it fall. We let it go going one ear out the other ear. My granddaughter, this morning, she got two boys to go to church with her. And I told her last night, I said, make sure they listen. I talked with one of those boys, and it's that boy I was telling you about that said he was agnostic. He's not an atheist. He said, I believe in something. I just don't necessarily believe in God. And I spent a little bit of time talking with him. But he's going to church today with my granddaughter. And she's got a friend. We call her Cammie. But her name's Cameron. But my granddaughter's got a girlfriend and two young boys going to church with her today. I wish they was here. But they're there. I'm glad for that.
That's right.
I mean, I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have them here than anywhere. But I'm glad at least they're going to church today. But one thing, you got to let God's Word retain in your heart. The psalmist said, I've hid thy Word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That's a good place to put a Word of God,
right,
is to put it in your heart. And if you put His Word in your heart, then you'll have it. And as a matter of fact, when I first got saved, I didn't know much of anything. And I was struggling to read the Bible and having no success at all in it. As a matter of fact, it was just kind of like, I don't really want to say it like this, but it's kind of like reading the Daily Times, the newspaper or something. It had no spirit to it, had no life to it. And I was getting frustrated. My wife, my good godly wife, she kept buying me different Bibles, and none of them had any effect neither. And finally, I guess it was the Lord's doings here, but I knelt down to my knees and I prayed a simple prayer. And I said, Lord, I said, this is your word. And I said, Lord, I'm your son. I said, open your words to me. Make your words known to me. I said, put your words in my heart that I might have them for my sake and for the sake of others that I meet in life. And to my amazement, God did that. But that's what we need to put God's word. We need to put it in our heart. That's a good, safe place to put the Word of God. We're in Proverbs chapter 4, Sister Sharon. As a matter of fact, we're in verse 4.
All right.
But God promotes children partaking of the Word of God. Somebody said they're too young. You can never start a child too young. I've heard of mothers having enough sense to when they were even pregnant with their child that they made sure they was in the house of God. They wanted them to hear while they was in the womb. You say they, you can't do that. Jeremiah said you can.
Yeah,
he said, I was in the womb and God spoke to me. And you know, we're far-fetched today on all this stuff. They're killing babies and stuff. But Jeremiah, here, see if I can find this. I think it's verse 4, Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. Then the word of God came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. And Jeremiah says, I'm too young. But God said, but the Lord said unto me, say not I'm a child, for thou shalt go unto all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. You know, God gave a commandment to Jeremiah in the womb, called him to be a prophet.
Yes.
We sometimes have a mind apart from God's will. Bible talks about the carnal minds and envy with the things of God, and it resists the Holy Spirit, and it's contrary to the will of God. But God here inclines not only fathers and mothers, but He inclines even children here also. In verse 5, He says, get wisdom. Now you don't get that at Walmart. You can't go to your neighbor and say, I need a cup of wisdom. You got to go to God. I think it's in the book of James, talk about if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God. Wisdom from above comes from God. You might be able to get some wisdom down here in the schools or whatever. But James chapter 1, verse 5, If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God wants you to have wisdom.
Amen.
And he says, get it in verse 5 here. He says, get wisdom. Get understanding. Understanding goes hand in hand with wisdom. I think of understanding kind of like experience. You know that you understand. I picked up a piece of sharp metal this week and it cut my finger. And I was brought to the understanding I should have had gloves on.
Yeah.
Now, I actually thought about putting gloves on. And I didn't do it. And after that piece of sharp metal cut that finger right there, I was brought to the understanding of you ought to have enough sense to put a pair of gloves on.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, sometimes we all got understanding, we just don't use it. But get wisdom, God says. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. You know, God, one thing about God that I like, he can't lie. And I've been lied to more than once by every kind of person you can think of.
Yeah.
There's some preachers today going to be preaching a bunch of lies from the pulpit.
Yes,
and some of them will be doing it through ignorance. Some of them will be doing it intentionally, trying to further their agenda. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say it like this, but man has never accepted the fact that God is on the throne. And man wants to kind of like Satan set up on the throne above God.
Yeah.
And I thank the Lord that 31 years ago I gave place to God.
Yeah.
And he sits now upon the throne of my heart. And he's my Lord. And I'm not only his son, but I serve him with joy, with willingness. I don't try to usurp authority. You know, Absalom rose up against his father David, and that's the worst case scenario. But David, being such a loving father, actually didn't try to kill his son. He tried to spare his son what was going to be inevitable. Absalom was going to die. And David didn't want Absalom to die. David wanted Absalom to live. But a lot of people are just like Absalom. They won't do what's right. They'll, I guess you call it greedy of gain, or maybe having higher aspirations than what they need to have. And they'll do themselves hurt by rather doing what they should do, and that's let God be God. The Lord here kind of promotes that here. He says, get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. You know, God, he's told us how he created everything. And a lot of people call it a fairy tale. They call it hogwash. They say that's the furthest thing from the truth. And you know what? They're coming to terms here lately that they realize they was wrong. It's kind of funny and bittersweet. But scientists are starting to realize they were wrong.
Yeah.
Let's just say scientifically here today, they say this earth is how many, 600 million years old, something like that?
Yeah.
Well, let's just say scientifically, even though that's a farce, that the earth is 600 million years old. If that's true, why is the center of this earth still molten lava and volcano? Matter of fact, this week, volcanoes erupted on an island, and I saw that molten lava go up into the sky, and I'm sitting there thinking, how long does it take that stuff, you know, to turn to solid? Well, God said hell was beneath. And you know, according to God, all that molten lava kind of points toward God's right, man's wrong. But you know, those volcanoes keep erupting, and that liquid lava, molten rock, whatever, goes up in the air and comes down and it turns solid.
Yeah.
Why can't man just accept the fact the center of this earth is exactly what God said it was? He said it's a burning hell. He said it's a fire that can never be quenched. It's
right.
Never going to cool. It's never going to go away.
Amen.
It's exactly what God said it was. It serves a purpose. God made it. You find that in Matthew 25:41. God said hell was prepared for the devil and his angels.
Yeah.
And listen, God made that place a fit place for the devil and his angels. But scientifically, they can't explain that away. Why hadn't it cooled off? I built a lot of fires.
Yeah, that's right.
It didn't take no time to go out. This is no go out.
No.
Right.
Fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not. That's what I'm saying, you know. When you get talking scientifically, scientists think they've got the upper hand. And God just winks at them and commands them to repent.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, God says get wisdom. He says get understanding. He says forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. That goes back to that very first word in this chapter. Mm-hmm. Here. You know, God speaks, man ought to hear.
That's right.
But God doesn't give the most earnest heed. As a matter of fact, man tries to find a way around the Word of God. I think about this a lot when I think about man trying to find a way around the Word of God. Paul's trying to give him an explanation of him getting saved in Acts here. Acts 26. He's telling King Agrippa. One of my favorite parts, he gave his testimony about everywhere he went.
Yeah.
But as he's giving his testimony, and you know, he was Saul then, he was contrary to God. A matter of fact, he was blasphemous. He was persecuting the church. But I like what it says here, verse 13. And he's talking about the hour of the day at midday at 12 o'clock. He says, at midday, O king, I saw in the way. I like that terminology. Mm-hmm. He said he was in my way. I couldn't accomplish my purpose.
Right.
He said God was in my way and I couldn't find a way around him. I like that terminology.
Yeah.
He said, I saw in the way. I'm glad God got in my way.
That's right.
You know, if he hadn't got my way and I was already determined to go my way, and I was hell-bound.
Yeah.
If God hadn't have got in my way, if God hadn't have gotten Saul's way, we'd have both ended up in that place of the damned.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, God says, decline not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Verse 6, talking about wisdom and the Word of God, he said, forsake her not. You know, I'm really enjoying teaching this morning. Y'all bear with me. I don't know why. It's just kind of like a spring this morning coming from everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, God talks about here in Hebrews chapter 2. He says, therefore we ought to give the most earnest heed, verse 1, to the things which we have heard. You remember God started out by hear.
Yeah, right.
Well, Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1 says we ought to give the most earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him.
Yeah.
Now, that's pretty bold there. But God says, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. I meet people, and you've met people. They want to live.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They'll go to the doctor. They'll suffer many things, kind of like that woman, that issue of blood. The Bible said she suffered many things of many physicians, grew nothing better, rather worse, and she spent all she had. She wanted to live. It's almost hard to keep them preaching right here. But I meet people and they want to live. But they'll go everywhere but to him to live. That's an oxymoron. The Bible said in Acts 17, in him we live and move and have our being. God gives us everything we need to live, and we take God for granted and try to live lives apart from him.
Yes,
boy, this is a good lesson this morning. It's even better to me than I realized that it was going to be myself, because I tell, I feel the Holy Spirit of this morning. But God here, he says, forsake her not, talking about wisdom and the Word of God. and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. I believe it was the psalmist that said, I love thy word. Yeah. And he said, Job said he loved it more than his daily meat. Hey, Brother Dallas, he slipped in there on me, brother. But the word of God, it's more than word or letter on paper. It's actually what Jesus said men ought to live by in Matthew 4, verse 4. Men ought to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And we don't look at it like that. We don't think about it like that. We just take it as it is, you know, just the Bible. But actually, it's God's word. And God says, forsake it not. It said it'll preserve you. He said, love it, and it'll keep you. And you know what it'll do to keep you in church? It'll keep you in your right mind.
Right.
I get off track every now and then. I'll get the Bible out. You know what it does, Sharon?
Get you on the right track.
Yeah. Ever seen a train wreck? You know, it gets off the track and it makes the office wreck ever was. Mm-hmm. What do they try to do? They try to get it back on track, don't they?
Right.
I have a few of them train wrecks. Mm-hmm. I've had a bunch of them. I've seen a bunch of people had so bad a train wreck, they couldn't get back on track.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of like Demas. Paul said, Demas has forsaken me. Having left this present world. And he went out. He got off track. I've seen a lot of people kind of like Demas. They didn't let the word of God keep them. You know, when it talks about it'll keep you strong. It'll keep you straight.
Right.
It'll keep you spiritual. Spiritual means alive. I was telling Brother Ed about mowing my grass yesterday. I said, it looked like it was dead. It's drying up. Well, we get like that. We need some water of the word every now and then, Ephesians talks about there. We need some water every now and then to nourish us and to make us what we need to be. But, some people, they get off track and they don't stay in church. It says she'll keep thee. It'll keep you from temptation. It'll keep you from trouble.
Yeah.
It will. I don't know how many times I've thought twice about doing something because the Word of God said don't do that.
Right.
I thought twice about picking up something that didn't belong to me because God's Word says thou shalt not steal. Mm-hmm. I thought twice about telling a half-truth because God's Word said thou shalt not lie. Mm-hmm. You know, His Word, it's a strength. It's a buckler. It'll gird you. It'll hold you. It'll keep you from falling. Keep it from failing.
Right.
I tell you, boy, we discount the Word of God. If we had any sense at all, we throw everything away and just get a good heap and helping of the Word of God, and we'd be better off because of it.
That's right.
Brother Ed was sharing with me this morning. We was having some talk this morning. He was talking about his wife quit her medication. And I've been kind of preaching along those lines, but I certainly don't want to promote that. And I'm not a doctor, and I'm not even much of a preacher, to be honest with you. But you know what? If I was going to do that, you might be better off to do that and you might not be. But if I was going to do that, I'd do it one pill at a time. See how it went. She just put it all together. I said, well, we better be praying for her.
That's right.
But you know what? God does give medicine. Did y'all know that? Psalms 104, He gave the herb for the service of man.
Right.
And all medicine is herb.
Mm-hmm.
And my pastor, he takes a lot of herbs. We're both the exact same age. Me and Brother Rick, we used to carpool together, rode motorcycles together. I hate to admit it, we even drunk together.
Yeah.
God straightened him out, God saved me. We don't ride motorcycles no more together, we don't drink no more. We made carpool still, going to meetings and stuff. But it's different all the way around. But you know what? The Word of God straightened us both out.
Right.
The Word of God, John, when he saw Jesus, he talked about He'll make the crooked straight. I was crooked, and God straightened me out. Right. Hey, Carolyn ain't got no cast on.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah,
praise the Lord. This son, this word's working already. She's packing her Bible with the arm that had the cast on. Amen. But wisdom. God here in verse 7, verse 6 talking about it to keep you. That's real important. But verse 7, wisdom is the principal thing. How many of you thought about this morning, boy, I need to get some wisdom? You know, just by coming to church this morning, you thought that. Y'all probably don't think about this, but when I do preach, I preach to myself as well as to y'all. Most time, I ain't got a clue what I'm going to say. Sometimes I've got a little bit of an idea about what I'm going to say. But God puts a lot in there that I have no idea that He's going to say, because I always pray, Lord, preach to me through me, and He always does.
Yeah.
But I get wisdom just as much as I try to give wisdom. But all of the wisdom that you and I both get comes from the Word of God. So just by coming to church this morning, we're trying to get a little wisdom, amen?
Amen.
And we need wisdom. The kind of wisdom that comes from above. You know, the man's wisdom contradicts what God says. God just kind of winks at man's wisdom. Acts 17 says that He commands men everywhere to repent. But man's always been stubborn. Carnal. Just contrary to whatever God says. My son, when he was growing up, I'd tell him to do something, he'd do opposite of what I'd say. He'd just contrary.
Yeah.
Well, that's just the way we are. I couldn't hold it against him. I was the same way.
Yeah.
He might have missed so much of me, it makes me mad. Because I'm sitting there watching myself grow up all over again. I thought, boy, why have you got to be so hard-headed? God said, I just want to show you what you was like growing up, boy. I don't know if that's true or not, but he's just like me. But in Proverbs 4, verse 7, God here makes this declaration, and He said, wisdom is the principal thing. In other words, it ought to take the priority over your breakfast.
Right.
It ought to take priority over TV. Hello, boy. It's been a long time since preachers preached about TV.
Yeah, that's right.
But my wife, and she ain't here, and good thing she ain't, but she's got so much emphasis on the TV, there ain't no room for anything else. And I'm going to say I watch some too. All I watch is Fox News.
Yeah.
But the reason I watch Fox News is because I'm a watchman.
Yeah.
What's a watchman do? He pays attention and tries to warn people about things that's coming from the horizon. Well, I do more watchman on Fox News than I can watching some of the stuff my wife watches. The Bible says put no wicked thing before my eyes. Some said, I'll put no wicked thing before my eyes. Some of that stuff she watched, I told her, I said, boy, you need to pray about that. I ain't sure it's fit to watch. Some of that stuff, I have to admit, I may not be a judge, I'm her husband. Some of that stuff, and I do try to guide her. She just won't listen. But I told her, I said, you could do better picking something to watch than that. Anyway, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And we're talking before some of y'all got in here that you can't go to Walmart and get wisdom.
No.
It ain't like you can go to Walmart and say, I need about six dozen cans of wisdom or bottles of wisdom or a bushel baskets of wisdom. You can't go to your neighbor and say, I need to borrow some wisdom. They might be able to give you some wisdom. But the principal place to get wisdom is from God. We mentioned that in James chapter 1, that God gives us wisdom. He says, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, I like that word.
Yeah.
With all thy getting, get understanding. Now, he's already mentioned understanding. I think this is the third time that understanding is mentioned. It's mentioned in verse 1. It's mentioned in verse 5. But here it is mentioned again. God mainly putting the emphasis on wisdom and understanding. He goes on to say in verse 8, exalt her. In other words, put it where it needs to be.
Right.
It needs to be at the top. A lot of people make a list of things they got to do during the day. God says, put this at the top. Exalt her, talking about wisdom, talking about understanding, and she shall promote thee. Somebody said, I wish I knew how to get ahead. God said, I'll help you if you'll let me. God can promote you. You remember Joseph? He got promoted to second in command in Egypt. He was second to Pharaoh.
Yeah.
That promotion that he got was by basically doing exactly what our lesson's about this morning. He never let go of wisdom. He never let go of understanding. All the things he suffered would have caused most of us to throw it away. But he never did let it go away. He stayed with the principle of wisdom and understanding. And the next thing you know, Joseph's second in command in Egypt. She shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. Can you imagine Potiphar and his wife kneeling down to Joseph? As Pharaoh said, as you go out, he said, all of Egypt will kneel to you. Now here Potiphar is. He had Joseph put in prison. Here's Potiphar's wife. She accused him of trying to rape her. And here both of them are now bowing down the knee to one that wouldn't let go of wisdom and understanding.
Yeah.
God said it'll promote you. Hold on to it. Don't let wisdom fall by the wayside. He said, she shall bring thee to honor when thou doest embrace her. There's a reward to wisdom and understanding. Look at verse 9. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall be delivered to thee. You know, they put a crown on Joseph's head.
Yep.
Pharaoh put a ring on his finger.
Yep.
Both of those were ornaments that let people know that he'd been promoted. And I tell you, God, he gives us advice. In verse 2 up there, he said, I give you good doctrine. You may not take it, but God gives it. And he says here that wisdom and understanding to give your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory, shall deliver to thee. Verse 10, hear, O my son. We started out with that word here in verse 1. Here it is again in verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Now, everybody wants to live a good long life. God says, I'll tell you how to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep my word in your heart. Let my word have free course in your life. Now, I don't know that we'll finish this chapter. We might. But in the latter part of this chapter, it's going to talk about life and health. Because this is my favorite chapter, Proverbs chapter 4. And if people will give earnest heed to God's word, we'll find out here. We'll get down about verse number 22 that there's a reward for it. But God says here, and the years of thy life shall be many. Let me show you a strange verse here. Matter of fact, I think about this verse a lot. When I look at the obituaries, I think about this verse right here. In Psalms 55, verse 23, but thou, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. Now the reason I think about that verse a lot is because God mentions our days in Psalms 91, I believe it is. No, it's 90. Psalms 90, verse 9, for all of our days, the days of our years, verse 10, are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, that's 80. So if someone lives half, they live just to be 35 or 40. I think about that verse a lot. I do. That God had to take action.
Yeah.
That the years of thy life may be many. I think God wants everybody to live to be 70 or 80 or even more. And a lot of people, the reason they don't make that mark is they make a foolish decision or they don't make good choices.
Right.
And God has to, you know, he's a God of chastisement, God of judgment, but he has to take some kind of action. You know, I think about Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In Romans chapter 6, verse 1, like what Brother Ed said, verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? I think there's a law that pertains to the sinner as well as the saved. Buddy, I tell you what, you better regard God and His Word if you want to live a long life.
Amen.
And God says, in the years of thy life shall be many. Verse 11, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. You know, when you let God lead, I heard a laugh right there. When I first got saved, my zeal was greater than my wisdom or knowledge. I got ahead of God.
Yeah.
It's pretty lonely out there, I'll tell you right now. I got ahead of God, and I had to go back to where I left him. He stayed right there and waited me to come back, and then we walked together. I met a lot of people like that. In their zeal, they get ahead of God. The Bible says, run with patience the race that's before you.
Right. It
talks about walking in the light as he's in the light. Trust me, you can get ahead of God. God just got a certain way of doing things.
Right.
And he don't compromise. He don't run to catch up. He just says, well, he'll figure it out in a minute. And I did.
Yeah.
I returned back and said, okay, I'm ready to walk and listen again. And you know, Adam walked in the garden with the Lord until he made a mistake and he ate of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he went and hid instead of walking with God. Yeah. Well, we're no different than Adam. We've got an Adam sinful nature. The Bible tells us, you know, that he hid himself from the presence of the Lord. Something had changed. But God said, I have led thee in the right path. That wasn't God's will for Adam.
No.
God warned Adam. He said, of all the trees of the garden, thou mayest freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, God said, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And then in Genesis chapter 3, here comes a lying serpent, comes up to Eve, the weaker vessel. And, you know, the devil does look for weakness. I'm not saying that in a derogatory way, but he found weakness in Eve. I don't think he could have done what he did with Eve with Adam. But anyway, he found that weakness, and all he said was, yea, have God said, though he's questioning the Word of God. And then he goes a little further in that, and he says, God does know that in the day you eat thereof, you're going to be like God, knowing the difference between good and evil. And the Bible said he changed the way that woman looked at that tree, and she saw it to be desired to make one wise. Wrong kind of wisdom. God didn't want them to have that kind of wisdom. Anyway, God said, I have led thee in the right path. Let God lead. Verse 12, when thou goest, and I was telling Brother Ed on the way up here, my truck ain't going as good as it used to go, but it made it here. That was my important. That was my most important prerogative, was to make it here. I don't care if I make it back home or not, but yesterday I was moving some stuff around the farm, moving some equipment around as I was mowing, pulling trailers up and backing them up. And that last one when I backed up, old truck just kind of made a weird noise and wouldn't back up. And I said, well, that ain't good. We just left it right there. But anyway, I thought, I hope it makes it to church tomorrow, and it did. After that, I don't care whether I make it home or not, but I told Brother Ed, I said, I may have to call you. I said, if I ain't there for Sunday school, come looking for me. But anyway, God says, He says, when thou goest, and I do want to go to the house of God.
Yes.
Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. I don't know how I could have a decision of anything. You know, back years ago, there wasn't no, are we going to go to church today? Everybody knew we was going to go to church today. And it may be up for controversy now, but it didn't used to be that way. I'll put it that way. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou... That can't be right. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction, and let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Now, let me see what I messed up here. When thou goest, thy... Okay, you don't need to be straightened because you're going. Right. Yeah, God said, I've led thee in the right path. All right. In other words, God says, I don't have to correct you.
Right.
You're running right. You're going right. Because I'm sitting there thinking, okay, Lord, I need you to straighten me out. But verse 12 there, when you read it all together, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened because you're on that path called straight.
Right.
The Bible said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And he delighteth in him. And you know, you don't need to be straightened. But if you get off course, it's because you took your eyes off the Word of God and you're falling by the wayside, God putting you back in line. We was talking about a train getting off track a while ago. Anyway, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Things that pertain to life are the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 14, enter not into the path of the wicked. A lot of people do this. Go not in the way of evil men. A lot of people do that. And you see the aftermath of it. They're behind bars. And they've got that, somebody pray for me. Got to get me out of here.
Yeah.
And they've got that, I wish I hadn't went that way look on their face. The Bible talks about the way of transgressors is hard, but they've made bad decisions, and they did go the path of the wicked, and they did go in the way of evil men. Verse 15, God says, avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. Verse 16, for they sleep not, except they've done mischief. Some people just live. Antifa, I think about them a lot with this thought here. They can't sleep for thinking about what they could do to disrupt something, what they could do to cause mischief. It says their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Some people, they're just inclined to cause trouble. And I think about Antifa when I think about that verse 16. For they shall eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path, this is a good verse right here in this chapter. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Stay on that path and avoid that other path.
Right.
It says, the way of the wicked is as darkness, they know not at what they stumble. You know, I've seen men in this predicament here, and they'll blame everybody.
Yeah.
They'll blame you. They'll blame God. They'll blame whatever they stumbled at it. Blank to blank that. Blank to blank you. Blank to blank God. And you know what they will. And we just had someone quit out there at work this week. And they used some adjectives that I wouldn't have used. Profanity in the 10th power. And they cursed three people at work as they went out the door. And they shouldn't have done that. But you know, some people, they don't think twice about that. The way of wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. They're going to blame everyone but themselves for things that they're struggling with. This is one of my favorite passages right here. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Let incline thine ear unto my sayings. We started out with hearing. And again, God mentioned about listening. He said, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep it in front of your eyes. Keep it, you know, your ear open to the Word of God. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That's a good place to put the Word of God. Verse 22 tells you the conclusion why you should do that. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You want to live a long, good, healthy life? Have a good, healthy diet of the Word of God. And most likely, you'll live to be a ripe old age, most likely. You'll tell someone, I'll tell you what you need to do. Take heed thereunto to the Word of God. God will never lead you wrong. You'll be able to pass the torch to someone else.
Right.
He said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keep thy heart.
Yeah.
You know, everything proceeds from the heart. Jesus said, out of the heart proceeds murders and drunkenness and fornication. I didn't even look this scripture up. But a good man out of a good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. The heart needs to be kept orderly. Needs to be kept clean.
Yeah.
Needs to be kept right. It doesn't need to be promoted in the direction of evil or wickedness.
Right.
And keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I was mowing the yard yesterday. As I was mowing the yard, God was, well, I've always got my mind on the Lord, but God was kind of speaking to me, and it'll probably be a while before I preach this message. But God was speaking to me yesterday as I was mowing the yard about the gift of love.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That ought to just be natural.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what we've done with the gift of love. We've become critical.
Yeah. Amen.
Right. We've become everything but loving. We need to learn how to love again.
Right.
But I entertained that thought as I was mowing the yard, and I had to admit, I wept a little bit. I thought, Lord, you're right. We have lost the ability to love others.
Amen.
And how we need to work on that. But Lord, let me know when, how, whatever, to preach that message. But that gift of love, I think it's natural for us to love one another and unnatural for us not to. But anyway, God says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a forward mouth. Don't let your mouth be a trash of mouth. The Bible says a wise man studies to answer. Paul mentioned, I believe it's in the book of Ephesians, let your speech be seasoned with grace. I think it's in Ecclesiastes, power of life and death in the tongue. But words are important. The same words you can use to stab someone with, you can use to sustain someone with. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. A kind word, a soft answer turneth away wrath. Learn how to speak words rightly, fitly spoken. It says here, put away from thee a forward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. You know, I got saved by a preacher preaching out of a, I don't remember exactly where it was, but I know a lot of verses, I just can't remember where they're at. But he preached, the words that men speak should give account of in the day of judgment. I had a forward, filthy mouth. And it made me mad. I thought, my wife's told him what I've done, said, or whatever. And I got even more mad. But he's just telling the truth. And that was the message he preached. By the words that men speak should give account thereof in the day of judgment. I got big and mad because I had a forward mouth. I had a condemning mouth. I had a perverse lips. Put them far from thee. Verse 25, we'll try to finish this chapter up. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee. You know David, when he was up on the rooftop of the palace,
yeah.
He didn't look straight ahead. As a matter of fact, he looked somewhere he shouldn't have looked.
That's right.
And like one preacher said he shouldn't have looked back.
Yeah.
I'm sure when David first saw beautiful Bathsheba bathing, he probably turned his head, and then he probably looked back, and from that it was downhill. Well, God here says, look, let thine eyes look right on. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee. I'm the world's worst of driving. My wife, some people call it duck hunting,
yeah.
You know, I don't know, my wife says, keep your eyes on the dead burn road, you're going to kill us. And I'm looking this way, I'm looking everywhere, straight ahead. I'm cleaning ditches out, and she's having a fit. My granddaughter says, Pop, I don't want to die. And you know, I'm one of them that really does a lot of shopping while they're driving, looking to see what's behind buildings and stuff. Let thy eyelids look straight before thee. Keep your eyes. Hey, James, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, sir. And yourself?
Good to see you.
Yes, sir.
I really enjoyed you being here.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to you coming back. And here you are. Amen. He says, let thine eyelids look right on. Let thine eyes look right on and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. If you're going to drive a car, keep your eyes on the road. Eddie, hello. Boy, I tell you what, my wife would amen that if she's here. He says, ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We'll stop right there. God's given a lot of good advice here.
Yes.
And that's a good chapter to spend some time in. Proverbs chapter 4. And we'll stop right there. Amen.